I'm so glad we have this opportunity. It's a privilege. And we look at it as something that we offer to God, but God turns the blessing around and gives it back to us. I'm looking at right here my sermon slide, and I want to get to this to say that I have begun just a few weeks ago this series on being a church member. And if I am able to accomplish anything in this time by sharing God's word with you, this is what I hope to accomplish. You have a bulletin. If you don't, be sure and pick one up before you leave today, because inside it is an insert, and with it, in the insert, is pledge number 3 of a church member. If you've been watching TV, if you've been listening to the news, if you've been anywhere besides under a rock, you probably saw the impeachment proceedings moved from the House to the Senate this week. And guess what? Every one of the 100 senators was asked to what? Pledge to be an impartial juror to the proceedings. I caught that because I have been immersed in this concept of our pledging ourselves to God. And in doing this, what I've done is I have put together, and I'm using, Theo, it looks like I'm going to need your help because I'm not able on this to move to slide number 1. But what I am doing in this series is I am sharing with you some very fundamental concepts that you are well aware of, because I don't think that I can see anyone in this assembly who is a novice Christian, who is a novice disciple, someone that's new to following Jesus. And so you are familiar. Now, if there's been any question, and I'm sure there probably has, you know, why am I being asked to sign a pledge? Because that's exactly what I'm asking you to do. That's why I'm putting it in the bulletin. I'm asking you to take it home. I'm asking you to pray about it. I'm asking you to sign and date this pledge, each one of the 6 that I have for you. Today we're on number 3. I'm asking you to sign it and date it. You say, well, that seems kind of juvenile. But what happened in our U.S. Congress this week? Senators were asked to pledge before God and then walk down and each one individually sign a piece of paper. You say, well, you know, this is between me and God. That's right. I am sure that I'm bringing you nothing that you already know about, but I'm asking you to join me in this exercise because it has value. And sign your name and date your pledge that I hope, I'm sure, that you have already made, but just as a tangible, visible reminder. I've done this in the past, and here it is, Lord. I'm making it clear. I'm using this as a reminder of what I've already done. I've already pledged myself. I've already committed myself. And so here, as a reminder to me, I'm joining with my church, and I'm putting my name down, and I'm dating this document, and I am saying, as a church member, I am pledging, pledging what? Number 1, to be a functioning member of the church. That is to say, you know, just like members of our body, you know, we need every member of our body to be a properly functioning member. Last week we talked about service and talked about unity. You know, we pledge ourselves to keep the unity of the body, and that's so important. You are aware of that. I've been particularly aware of that over my years of ministry experience, seeing churches grow and be healthy and vibrant when they are unified, and just the opposite, hurt and divided and destroyed. Yes, I've seen churches destroyed because of their lack of unity. And so it's necessary for us to pledge, Lord, I know this is important. I'm going to use this as a reminder to me that, yes, I need to be given to doing all that I can to bring about unity in my church. And so today we're going to come to pledge number three. I will help my church be all about Jesus. I'm going to say more about this in the message this morning, but I want right now to share with you this song by Michael W. Smith and Matt Redman. Listen to the lyrics. Just join in the worship that they offer as a reminder to us of what this is all about.
About you, Jesus. I'm with us.
It's all about you. It's all about you.
Read scripture, we have to put it into context, and listening to this song, I think it's fairly easy to put this into context. These performers, these artists, when they sing to tens of thousands, it's easy for them, it would be easy for them to lose focus and begin to think that it's about themselves. But these godly men have come to realize it's not about them. It's all about Jesus. And that's what we need to be reminded of. And that's what the message is this morning, is pledging ourselves to make our church all about Jesus. Because we ourselves, yeah, sometimes lose that focus that we should always have. And so I'm referring here to Philippians chapter 2 for some advice and guidance from the Apostle Paul to help us remember what we are pledging ourselves to in regard to keeping our focus all about Jesus. Looking here at this text, and I'll just start this way. I was rereading this text last night, and I decided that I could help us by paraphrasing this. And so I want you to listen as I read this. Paul says, "In your lives, you must think and act like Christ Jesus. Christ himself was God in every way, but instead of remaining equal with God for his own benefit, he gave up privileges of his divine nature to become human like us." Fairly easy concept. Jesus, being God, gave up privileges of his deity to become human. And that was necessary for him to make this transition. And so to help you with this circle, we have to give up things about us that are very human and sinful in order to become like him. And as Peter says in 2 Peter 1 verse 3, to become partakers of his divine nature. And so it's quite a natural cycle, very important to our spiritual life. But we begin with the idea and the pledge that we make of making all that we do about Jesus begin with humility. And you know, we don't point to each other and say, "Well, look how humble." We point to Jesus. And this is what the Apostle Paul does. He points to Jesus and says, look at his humility. You know, if you want to remember, if you want to be able to remain focused and keep church all about Jesus, look at Jesus' humility. Being God, he didn't consider it keeping his privileges, his deity, to the degree that it was all for him. He served. He emptied himself, an old familiar phrase. He gave up, and that's what emptying means. He gave up his divine privileges to become a human like us. And so the next time you want to ask, well, what about this? Why are we doing this? Or why are we doing that? Or why are we doing it this way? You may want to ask, who does this help? And who does this serve? Am I trying to honor Christ by serving others? Or am I simply wanting to make it about me? You see, if we're going to follow the example of Paul and make it all about Jesus, then we've got to understand what Jesus is all about. What is Jesus all about? And Paul says he's not making it about himself. He's making it about us. And so that circle again occurs. Why? Well, because he wants to bring the lost children of God back into God's fellowship. And so here we are saying, hey, we're set, we're good, we're in fellowship. We are his church, we are his holy temple. And that's where we then begin to look outside or beyond ourselves to say, but what about our neighbors? What about our friends? They don't know Jesus. And the pain of that statement is necessary to see what those lost people are going through. How sin ravages people's lives. How sin wrecks marriages. How sin destroys relationships. And when we begin to see that, we get urgent, like Jesus is urgent about serving rather than being served. And that's the point. I began the series quoting Matthew 20:28, and again last week in Mark 10, verse 45. Jesus didn't come to be served. Even though he had every right and every reason to be served himself, he gave up that right in order to serve. And so we have no place to say, what about me? What about my interest? What about my concern? What about my songs? What about what I want to do? And start saying, what is Jesus calling me to do? What is Jesus calling us as his church to do? Where is our interest and where is our concern? If we look back to Jesus, he's got a broad net that he wants to cast here in this community. And so we move on in this text in Philippians 2. I will pledge to make my church all about Jesus because Jesus is all about service. Here Paul says very simply, he was born to be a man and he became like a servant. Jesus could have been born a king among royalty, in a palace with many servants. But he didn't come that way. We know that he came in a rather humble and lowly manner, born in a manger, without the normal even services for newborn children. And he became even more like a servant as he grew and ordered his life. And so Paul says, Jesus is all about obedience. And here, beginning in verse 8, and when he was living as a man, he humbled himself and was fully obedient to God, even when that caused his death on a cross. we look at our lives and we take stock and we say, well, you know, I'm living a pretty good life. And by comparison, you know, looking at other people, we can say, we can be fairly correct in that statement. I'm living a pretty good life. Jesus lived a pretty good life. But where did that life lead him? To one of a death on a cross. And here's the point, and here's the thing. When we look at Jesus' obedience, we say, well, why did he do that? Why? It was his love for us. It was his love for humanity that caused him to follow God wherever the Father would lead, even to dying on a cross. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, now, we look at Jesus, and we must see that he calls us to follow his example. In 1 John 3, verse 16, John says, and here's how we know what love is. Even as Jesus gave his life for us, we also should give our lives for one another. But don't be mistaken to think, well, if he calls me to die on a cross, then I'll certainly hope that I'm ready to do that. No, that has, for some, been the call. There have been martyrs who have given their life. We are called to give our lives in another way. Paul talks about this in Romans 12 and in verse 1, to offer ourselves as a living sacrifice. That is, every day, get up and say, Lord, not my will, but thy will be done. And in this way, we're pledging, we're giving our lives to say, Lord, I will do as you call me to do. I will serve as you call me to serve. I will give up. I will give up my life. And I, in doing that, realize that when I give up my life, God returns it to me manifold. He blesses me with a life more abundant, more joyful, more full, more meaningful than I ever could have had trying to take it by myself and to claim it as my own. And that is why I can recommend to you that you follow Jesus' example and that you give up your life, a living sacrifice. Paul says, that's holy and acceptable and your reasonable worship. And so we come then to this last statement, pledging ourselves to make our church all about Jesus, because Jesus is all about God's glory. And so Paul here says, so God raised him to the highest place. God made his name greater than every other name, so that every knee will bow to the name of Jesus, everyone in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and everyone will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord and bring glory to God the Father. We will one day be transformed into a glorious, incorruptible body. And we look forward to that day. But that's not the here and now. The here and now is that God is transforming us into a glorious being. Here and now. And what of this? When we allow the Lord to transform us and change our interests, our desires, our concerns to his focus, his purposes, his intentions for us, it brings God the Father glory. So keep in mind, and as we see here in this example, when Jesus was obedient and gave up his life, God returned manifold Jesus' life. He raised him from the grave. He set him made his name greater than every other name, so that every knee will bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and everyone will confess that Jesus is Lord. You have to have faith to say, I'm not going to live for myself. I'm going to live for the Lord. I'm not going to choose my own will. I'm going to choose the Lord's will, because I believe that when I give myself up, he returns what I give up manyfold. That's how we know and live the abundant life. And so this morning, I want to ask Al to come on back up and play for us a tune, giving us the opportunity to end this service with an opportunity to come before the Lord at the altar. If you have that need or concern, take the opportunity this morning. I want to also conclude this way. We're talking about pledging ourselves. And it was brought to my attention that this is not something that we are now here and now doing. This is something that we have pledged ourselves to when we came to faith. And when we committed our lives to the Lord Jesus, we said, Lord, I'm yours. And from that point, in my experience, we begin to grow in our wisdom and knowledge of his will for our lives. And then we, with the help of the Holy Spirit, conform our lives to his will for us. There is an important pledge that every Christian needs to make. It's identified in 1 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 21 as baptism. Peter says in reference, and he was talking about the waters of the flood of Noah, and then he turns his attention to baptism. He says, and this water, Noah, the flood, and this water symbolizes baptism, which also now saves you. Baptism doesn't save you, and don't misunderstand. He says, not the washing away of the filth of the flesh, but the answer, and the word is pledge, but the pledge of a good conscience toward God. That is why we as followers of Jesus believe in and uphold the rite or ceremony of baptism as important. Because it is, in this sense, a pledge of our faithfulness to God, our giving up of ourselves, our dying with Christ in order to be raised with Christ. We pledge ourselves in this important and meaningful rite or ceremony to serve and to honor God. Something that we had done before, but now put it in writing, or put it in the blood and the water represented in baptism. And so,